जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, जय यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे नीताय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल नीताय गौर हरि बोल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
आचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमदिश्वायन ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की ग्रंथरा श्रीमद्भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 and 7, we'll read 6. Parvato Narado Dhaumyo Bhagavan Badarayanaha Brihadashvo Bharadvaja Sashishyo Renukasutaha Parvato Narado Dhaumyo भगवान् बादरायणः बृहदश्वो भरद्वाज सशिष्यो रेणुकासुतः पर्वतो नारदो धौम्यो भगवान् बादरायणः बृहदश्वो भरद्वाज सशिष्यो रेणुकासुतः पर्वतो
Shishya
Matriz. పర్వతః పర్వతముని నారదః నారదముని ధౌమ్యః ధౌమ్య భగవాన్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ బాదరాయణః వ్యాసదేవ్ బృహదశ్వః బృహదశ్వ భరద్వాజ భరద్వాజ సశిష్య అలాంగ్ విత్ డిసైపుల్స్ రేణుకాసుత పరశురామ్. సో ది నెక్స్ట్ వర్సెస్ వసిష్ట ఇంద్ర ప్రమద స్త్రితో గృత్సమదోసిత కక్షీవాన్ గౌతమో త్రీశ్చ కౌశికోథ సుదర్శన. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All the sages like Parvatamuni, Narada, Dhaumya, Vyas, the incarnation of God, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja and Parashuram and disciples, Vasishtha, Indra Pramada, Trita, Gritsamada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika and Sudarshana were present. Purport. Parvatmuni is considered to be one of the oldest sages. He is almost always a constant companion of Narad Muni. They are also spacemen competent to travel in the air without the help of any material vehicle. Parvatmuni is also a Devarshi or a great sage amongst the demigods like Narada. He was present along with Narada at the sacrificial ceremony of Maharaj Janamejaya, son of Maharaj Parikshit. In this sacrifice, all the snakes of the world were to be killed. Parvatamuni and Naradamuni are called Gandharvas also, because they can travel in the air singing the glories of the Lord. Since they can travel in the air, they observed Draupadi's Swayamvar ceremony, selecting of her own husband, from the air. Like Naradamuni, Parvatamuni also used to visit the royal assembly in the heaven of King Indra. As a Gandharva, sometimes he visited the royal assembly of Kuvera, one of the important demigods. Both Narada and Parvata were once in trouble with the daughter of Maharaj Srinjaya. Maharaj Srinjaya got the benediction of his son by Parvatamuni. Narada Muni is inevitably associated with the narrations of the Puranas. He is described in the Bhagavatam. In his previous life, he was the son of a maidservant, but by good association with pure devotees, he became enlightened in devotional service. And in the next life, he became a perfect man comparable with himself only. In the Mahabharata, his name is mentioned in many places. He is the principal Devarshi or the chief sage among the demigods. He is the son and disciple of Brahmaji, and from him, the disciplic succession in the line of Brahma has been spread. He initiated Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj and many celebrated devotees of the Lord. He initiated even Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedic literatures. And from Vyasadeva, Madhvacharya was initiated. And thus the Madhva Sampradaya, in which the Gaudiya Sampradaya is also included, has spread all over the universe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to this Madhva Sampradaya. Therefore, Brahmaji, Narada, Vyasa, down to Madhva, Chaitanya and the Goswamis, all belong to the same line of disciplic succession. Naraji has instructed many kings from time immemorial. In the Bhagavatam, we can see that he instructed Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother, and he instructed Vasudev, father of Krishna, as well as Maharaj Yudhishthir. Dhaumya, a great sage who practiced severe penances at Utkochaka Tirtha and was appointed royal priest of the Pandava kings. He acted as a priest in many religious functions of the Pandavas, samskaras, and also each of the Pandavas was attended by him at the betrothal of Draupadi. He was present even during the exile of the Pandavas and used to advise them in circumstances when they were perplexed. He instructed them how to live incognito for 1 year, and his instructions were strictly followed by the Pandavas during that time. His name is mentioned also when the general funeral ceremony was performed after the battle of Kurukshetra. In the Anushasana Parva of Mahabharat, he gave very elaborate religious instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was actually the right type of priest of a householder, for he could guide the Pandavas on the right path of religion. A priest is meant for guiding the householder progressively in the right path of ashrama dharma, or the occupational duty of a particular caste. There is practically no difference between the family priest and a spiritual master. The sages, saints and brahmanas were especially meant for such functions. So we'll stop here with the purport. It's a long purport. The other speakers will continue it in the coming days. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So we'll continue our discussion with this section of the passing away of Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev, as we all know, is lying on the bed of arrows. And all the great sages and kings and all the celebrated people from all over the universe are coming here to witness this event. The glorious passing away of a great personality. So it's natural, whenever there is a important event happening, we all would like to be there and witness what's happening here. A great person coming or a great person passing away, some inauguration, some opening, something or the other happening, which is like a one-time event, then we want to be there. So, just like Parikshit was passing during the last days, the 7 days, all these sages that we must find here, they were present during that time also. So, a great king, a great devotee, who is like the emperor of the world, when such a person is passing away, it has to be eventful. It cannot be an ordinary event. And Parikshit was known as a great devotee who got the darshan of the Lord when he was in the mother's womb. So that's why it was special. So similarly, Bhishma also. Bhishma was quite well known, the best warrior in the history of the world till then. And he had taken this mighty vow. He had this Ichhamaran. And how he faced Krishna in the battlefield, Arjuna and Krishna. So everything was extraordinary about him. So if such a person, now he is lying on the bed of arrows and still not left his body, so many arrows piercing. That means the person is special and everyone knew how special he is. So definitely his passing away is also going to be special. Even his birth was special through Ganga Devi. So such great personalities, everything about their life is special, so no one wants to miss how they are going to depart from the world. And to witness this event, therefore, everyone is assembled. What is going to be special, which doesn't happen with ordinary people's departure? So all these people are Saptarishis and other great people all over the universe. They keep traveling all over the universe. And now they are here, wanting to hear Bhishma Dev's instructions to Yudhishthira and eventually witness how he is going to leave his body. So Parvatamuni, we all know this personality. Parvatamuni, how he was accompanying Narad Muni when they met Murugari and how they delivered Murugari, the hunter. And they again came after the transformation of Murugari and they saw how he is so sensitive about even the ants. So Parvatamuni is said to be a very constant companion. I think Parvatamuni in the Gaur Leela, he comes as, I think Brahmananda Puri or someone, one of those people. So then there we have Narad Muni here. Narad Muni is again a very famous personality in the Bhagavatam, right from the first canto till the end of the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, everywhere, in every canto, in every pastime, almost in every pastime, he's there. Right from Swayambhu Manu's period, Vaivasvata Manu's period, in this period, Mahabharata, Ramayana, everywhere you find his name. So that way, Narad Muni is also a very well-known personality, although oftentimes misunderstood for his certain inconceivable actions, how he provoked Kamsa, for example, going and telling Kamsa that Devaki's six sons, any of them could be the eighth son, not the sequentially arriving eighth son. Anyone could be eighth. So don't spare anyone, kill everyone. So people sometimes wonder, how can this person be a very devotee? How can he be a religious person? He is supporting, he is said to be a person of the demigods, but he is appearing to be supporting the demons, going against the will of the demigods. Even during the Samudra Manthan Leela, everywhere you find his name appearing. So, misunderstood personality. But when we hear from the Acharyas how his past life, as Prabhupada is describing here, was the son of a maid servant, and he became the teacher of, the guru of, the author of the Vedic literatures, Vyasadeva, and all the celebrated disciples like Prahlad, Dhruva, Prachin Varhishat, so many people, Yudhishthir. Everywhere you will find Narada's instruction imparted to these people. So that way he is no ordinary person. Then we have Dhaumya, which we read about. Dhaumya. Dhaumya's description comes elaborately in the Mahabharata. The first time his description comes is when the Pandavas, when they were in the forest after the Lakshagriha incident, they killed Bakasur, Bhima killed Bakasur, and after the Bakasur episode, they heard the news about Draupadi Swayamvar. From one person. So upon hearing this, Draupadi's beauty and the whole competition being arranged by Drupada, the five Pandavas were listening excitedly. So Kunti suggested, okay, let us go there. And Vyasadeva also came and told them that Arjun should participate in the competition. So they were traveling from Ekachakra to Panchal, the capital of Drupada. So they were traveling several days, they passed by, finally they arrived at the banks of the Ganga. And so they thought, okay, let us take a rest in the night. Cool waters, nice shady area. So they were about to drink the waters when they heard a voice challenging them. Said, who are you? This river cannot be used by ordinary humans. I am a Gandharva here, and it is my domain. You humans, ordinary humans, have no right to enjoy these waters and place. Please get out of here. Otherwise, I will kill you. So the Pandavas heard this, Arjun heard this, and he got really angry. He said, who are you? This land, this river is a public property, meant for everyone's utility. You have no exclusive right over this. And if you are going to challenge, I am ready to challenge you. So the Gandharva appeared. His name was Angaraparna. And he took out his arms. Arjun had this torch light. That was his weapon. And this Gandharva started shooting arrows, trying to kill them. But Arjun deflected all those, neutralized all those arrows simply by this weapon. And then he took out his astra. He said, okay, now I am going to kill you. He took out his astra and shot it at the Gandharva. And that force of the astra was so damaging. The whole chariot, his whole golden chariot got burnt and he was on the ground. Immediately the Gandharva came to his senses and begged forgiveness, came to Arjun and to Yudhishthir and begged forgiveness. And his wife, the Gandharva's wife, also begged forgiveness, saying, please spare my husband's life, he is innocent. So Yudhishthir said, someone who has lost his weapons and who is protected by his wife, we don't want to take your life. So we spare you, you can go. So Gandharva said, I am really grateful. I was really arrogant and you have smashed my pride. He was humble and he admitted his mistake and he said, as a token of gratitude, I want to share something, share my knowledge with you. So Arjun said, I don't take anything in exchange for sparing someone's life. So he said, no, it's not an exchange offer. I just want to express my gratitude, so please take this. So Arjun said, okay, but not now. Right now we are traveling. We'll come some other time and then we will take it from you. And the Gandharva requested Arjun to teach his astras, whatever he had, knowledge he had. So Arjun gave him the missile, the weapon that he used to destroy him. And in this way that friendship was made. And he said, the Gandharva said, you were able to destroy me. Ordinarily human beings would not have destroyed me, defeated me. But because you have been practicing strict sense control and brahmacharya, therefore, even though a human being, you were able to destroy a Gandharva which is superior to human beings. That's the reason you had more power. And he said, even if someone is not so sense controlled, but if he has a Brahmana guide, as a consultant, then such a person can also defeat us. So that's when the Pandavas inquired, so where can we find a Brahmana guide for us, who can guide us throughout our life? So Gandharva said, a little far away from here, go ahead on the banks of the Ganga, then you will find a sage called Dhaumya. He can be your guide. So they thanked him and then they left the place, eventually arriving at this specified spot. There they saw Dhaumya and along with all his disciples sitting on the banks of the Ganga. Everyone worshipping their own particular deity. Someone worshipping Shiva, Durga, Ganesh. And Dhaumya, it seems, worshipping Vishnu. So Pandava saw this effulgent sage and they went to him. Dhaumya also saw them. Five grand people arriving, looking like Kshatriyas, and they had Vaishnava marks, Vishnu's marks on their body, so he understood they are Vaishnavas. So he welcomed them to his cottage, gave them a nice seat, respectfully offered food and fruits. And then he said, okay, what can I do for you? So they said, we have been exiled from the kingdom. And we have to spend all these years in the forest. So please be our guide and consultant. So Dhaumya was happy to accept them. And then he said, and then they did all those rituals of consecration and initiated them as his disciples. So that's the mention of Dhaumya. Dhaumya later, throughout the Vanvas period, he was accompanying them, giving them instructions how to escape, how to follow the religious principles, how to offer charity, everything on a day-to-day basis. Like Prabhupada says here, A priest is meant for guiding the householder progressively in the right path of ashrama dharma or the occupational duty of a particular caste. There is practically no difference between the family priest and the spiritual master. And they are especially meant for such functions. So that's what Dhaumya did on a day-to-day basis, guiding the Pandavas in their daily duties and following the dharma. And even when they went to the Himalayas during the last period, when Arjun had to go to the heavenly planets to acquire the weapons, so they stayed those years in the Himalayas. Even then, Dhaumya Rishi was accompanying them, guiding them. And when later Jayadra tried to kidnap Draupadi, it was Dhaumya who intervened and warned the Pandavas, look, Draupadi is getting kidnapped, please come and save. So constant protection guidance was available for the Pandavas in the form of Dhaumya Rishi. So then other sages are there, Bharadvaja, Brihadashva, and their description will come in the coming days. Other speakers will speak. Today is also the disappearance day of Ramanujacharya. So we'll discuss something about him, his glorious life. So like every Acharya who comes, in our parampara we have Lord Chaitanya coming. Before Lord Chaitanya's appearance, the stage is set. Madhavendra Puri coming, Advaita Acharya Nityanandru, and finally Lord Chaitanya comes, and then other Acharyas follow. Similarly, Ramanuja Acharya also appearing, but before him appeared several other great devotees. One was Nathamuni, a very famous personality among the Sri Vaishnavas. So this Acharya was one of the first prominent Acharya in the Sri Vaishnava school who formulated a systematic theology of devotion to Vishnu, Nathamuni. He appeared in a family of South Indian Brahmanas in the year 908 AD, more than 10 centuries ago. And his first important, he was a main teacher who brought together the teachings of all the Alvars in a systematic manner. The Alvars said to be incarnations of various paraphernalia of Lord Vishnu. So those people are coming down as Alvars. It is spanning over several centuries, but together their teachings are called the Divya Prabandham. And Nathamuni was one of the first who collected all those teachings systematically and organized them. So that was his contribution. He was also responsible for the Tamil, it's called the Tamil Veda, the teachings of the Alvars, all the prayers and the devotional writings that they have composed. And his son, Nathamuni's son's name was Ishwaramuni. But this Ishwaramuni died at an early age. His son, Nathamuni's grandson, was Yamunacharya. That is the relation. Yamunacharya later met Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya took instructions from Yamunacharya also. So these are the previous Acharyas before Ramanuja. Then Ramanujacharya comes in the year 953 AD. So 908 is Nathamuni. 50 years later is Ramanujacharya in Madurai. And then he was raised by his grandmother and mother. Because by then Nathamuni had already taken sannyas. His father was not there, grandfather is not there. And his mother and grandmother raised him. And he became a big scholar. Well versed in all the Vedic scriptures, all the teachings of the Alvars. And later he imparted several instructions to, especially during his passing away, that three finger in the pastime happened. So Ramanujacharya was the only one who could infer what exactly those three fingers meant. So then Ramanujacharya comes, was the main Acharya of the Sri Vaishnavas. And he spread the teachings of Sri Vaishnavism all over South India. So Sri Vaishnava, he is coming in the line of Lakshmiji, the one of the main four sampradayas. So what is exactly this philosophy of Sri Vaishnavism? Vishishta Advaita. It's very similar to our teachings, because Lord Chaitanya ultimately borrowed two principles from each sampradaya. So this philosophy states, the jiva and the material world, jagat, depend on Ishwar, the Supreme Personality, Saguna Brahma, the only reality. Saguna Brahma is the only reality. According to this philosophy, the individual soul can be either Baddha or Mukta, liberated or conditioned. And the material world is real and eternal, only manifested, and only sometimes it is manifested, sometimes it is unmanifested, but it is real. Unlike what the impersonalists say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, but this these teachings say it is actually real. Then he says, God manifests in five main forms. Which are those? Para, the transcendental form. Vyuha, the divine manifestations that originate reality. Vibhava, the avatars. Archa, the deity form. And Antaryami, the Paramatma, living in everyone's heart. So in this way, one can access Krishna or God through any of these forms. And he wrote several books. Vedartha Sangraha, Shri Bhashya, Bhagavad Gita Bhashya, Vedanta Sutra, summary study of Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta Deepa, the subjects, outlining the subjects of Vedanta. Then, Charanagati Gadhya, Shri Ranga Gadhya, Shri Vaikuntha Gadhya, Nitya Grantha, for daily worship of the deity. So in this way, he wrote several books which are still in publication. Then it is said that Ramanuja has visited Puri. We also know this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it comes. Visiting Puri and how he tried to make some modification in the system of worship, and then by Jagannath's mercy he was transported to Kurumakshetra, right? He came to Kurumakshetra and that pastime happened. But it is said that he even tried to change the system of worship in Thiruvananthapuram. There also he was not successful. But he could successfully establish a system of worship in Tirupati. And he also established a mutt in Jagannathpuri. So in this way, these are his contributions to spread the teachings of pure devotional teachings of Sri Vaishnavism, pure devotional worship to Vishnu, which is like a main form of worship all over South India. Wherever you go, in Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, some parts of Kerala also. So we'll focus, because today's his disappearance, we will try to focus on his later pastimes. His early life is his interaction with the Guru Yadav Prakash, and how Yadav Prakash tried to, impersonalist, how he tried to kill him, poison him. But somehow by Lord Krishna's mercy, he escaped. And later Yadav Prakash also surrendered his life. So all those pastimes happened. We will begin from that famous pastime of Kolatunga. So Kolatunga happened to be a staunch devotee of Lord Shiva. And incidentally, Ramanuja had helped his sister, who was haunted by a ghost in his early childhood. It was Ramanuja who removed that ghost from that girl's body. But somehow later he developed this envy towards Ramanuja, because he was like becoming so popular all over South India and establishing Vishnu supremacy. But he was convinced that Lord Shiva is the supreme. And he wanted to establish Shaivism all over his kingdom. So he checked with his scholars and ministers how to do. So he started kind of voting, taking everyone's vote, who is supreme, who is supreme. But then one of his ministers, who happened to be a disciple of Quraysh, who had given up Quraysh, his guru, and he joined this king. He advised, if you want to really establish Lord Shiva's worship in your kingdom, then you have to actually convert only one person. That is Ramanuja. If he is changed, then your job becomes easy. So get him first. That's when he plotted the scheme of somehow inviting Ramanuja, trying to convince him. If he is not convinced, kill him. That was the whole idea. So he sent his people to Srirangam to invite Ramanuja to his capital, which was Kanchipuram, the Chola dynasty. So Ramanuja accepted the invitation. He didn't suspect anything. But Quraysh, his disciple, he felt there is something wrong here. He said, I feel they are going to attempt to kill you. So please don't go. I suggest we exchange our dress. You take the dress of, you put on white, the dress of a grihastha, and I will put on your sannyas robes, and then I will go in your guise. So Ramanuja thought about it and he said, okay. So Quraysh, they exchanged clothes, and Mahapurna, another one of his teachers, he also said, I am very old. If I can be of some contribution in saving Ramanuja's life, then I will also join. And if I die, that I will consider it my success of my life. So Mahapurna and Quraysh, they go to the people, the ministers who had accompanied, and present themselves as Ramanuja. Quraysh presents himself as Ramanuja and his assistant. So yes, we will come to your court. Ramanuja meanwhile escapes. Without telling anyone, he goes, enters into a forest without telling anyone. And then they go. They didn't suspect this is not Ramanuja. So they finally reach the kingdom, the capital, and the whole assembly is there, all the ministers and court, people of the court. So there this king, Kolatunga, raises the question. So who is supreme? Who do you worship? So Quraysh, being well-versed in all the scriptures, he emphatically says, Lord Vishnu is the supreme personality of Godhead, and pure devotion service unto him is the perfection of life, and everyone should adopt it. So when the king heard this, he got furious. He said, if you don't change your stance, and if you don't accept Lord Shiva as the supreme, then you will be really, will really punish you. So, he says, Quraysh says, he kind of sarcastically tells him, what to speak of Shiva? Even Drona is superior to Shiva. Drona and Shiva happen to be units of measurement. Another meaning of Shiva. Even Drona, so Drona is heavier. One unit of Drona is heavier than one unit of Shiva. So Drona is also bigger than Shiva. So when he heard this, he got really angry. He said, now this is the end. I am going to really punish you. And he ordered his soldiers to arrest them, put them in prison. And he said, for the blasphemous statement you have made against Shiva, I punish you by plucking out your eyes and making you blind. So both of them were undisturbed, even though they knew they were going to suffer. They remained undisturbed. They felt, even in fact, Quraysh felt, this is the success of my life. I can sacrifice, go through all this pain on behalf of Ramanuja. I am able to save Ramanuja's life, my guru's life. This is the best use of my material body. So they said, okay. So these guards, the soldiers came and started torturing them and plucked out their eyes, blinded them. And all this, during all this period, Quraysh remained calm, and in fact he was praying for them. praying for the deliverance of these people. And when they saw this, that Quraysh is still so saintly, such a saintly character he's displaying, they felt ashamed. They begged forgiveness. And then the king said, okay, now that they have suffered punishment, let them go back to their hometown, Srirangam. And they were sent back. So in this way, Ramanuja escaped Quraysh and on the way back, Mahapurna was like too old. He said, I cannot travel anymore. I am going to lie down here and give up my body. So in this way, he left his body there before reaching Srirangam. So Ramanuja, meanwhile, he left through another place and went through the forest. On the way, he reached many villages, several villages, and converted the people there. Wherever he would go, some Brahmana family would host him, and after meeting, talking to them, they would become devotees. They would accept Ramanuja's teachings, become his disciples. So Ramanuja went, they traveled a long time, several days, and they were exhausted. Someone came, some chandalas came, offered them fruits, and took them to their homes. And they said, oh, this is Ramanuja, the great Acharya. And then they surrendered their life, they became devotees. And then that's when they realized they have come out of the kingdom of Kolatunga. So they felt safe. We are now no one will be chasing us. Then they entered into another kingdom, a Jain king whose name was Vitthaladev. So the Jain king, this king was impressed by Ramanuja's teachings, and he decided to embrace Vaishnavism. But then his ministers and other priests, they didn't like the idea. They didn't like the idea that their king is getting converted into Vaishnavism. So they objected. So the king said, okay, they have presented their arguments. You present your arguments and let us see whoever wins, they will remain here. So although the Jain priests presented their arguments, but Ramanuja and his followers defeated them. So then they actually protested. So then the king declared, if you still want to subscribe to this deviant philosophy, then you may leave the kingdom. But here we are going to embrace these teachings of Ramanuja, and everyone will be following this. So then they couldn't say anything. So in this way, the whole kingdom became Vaishnavas. And this king became, from Vitthaladev, he became Vishnuvardhan. Ramanuja gave him this new name. From there, they traveled to another place called Yadavadri. So there also, they met several people. They became devotees, followers of Ramanuja. One day, Ramanuja was walking early morning. He was staying there for several days. He was walking and he saw along a tulsi grove, he saw something protruding from the earth. So he got his people, they uncovered the whole thing, and then they found a very beautiful deity of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan. So then the local people said, yeah, earlier when the Islamic people attacked the pujaris, out of fear, they hid the deity inside the ground. And now it is getting discovered. So they took out the deity, installed the deity, and a nice place, nice temple was built, and eventually worship started. And it became a big celebration all over the town. One day, Ramanuja, when he was staying there, he got a dream. This deity was named as Yadavadripati. This Yadavadripati came in his dream and said, look, my consort, Ramapriya, is missing. And they are the Utsava Vigrahas. Every Utsava Vigraha, they go on that festival. They come out of the main altar and give darshan to everyone. So that deity is not there. So you please go and get that deity. It is lying in Delhi, far away, far north. So please get that duty. So Ramanuja felt ecstatic upon hearing this instruction directly from the Lord. So next day itself he started, along with a few followers, towards Delhi. After walking several days, they reached the king, the emperor, where the deities were saved. And he showed the collection of all the deities he had, an Islamic king. And Ramanuja saw and he didn't find the deity which he was looking for. And he told the king, the deity is not here in this collection. So he said, yes, there is one more deity which my daughter is worshipping. Maybe that could be the one. So he went there to that room and he saw this deity of Ramapriya. Very beautiful deity. And Ramanuja said, yes, this is the one. I want to take this. So the king was respectful towards Ramanuja and he handed over the deity. And Ramanuja immediately left because he thought if the daughter notices this, then she may not allow me to take the deity. So they immediately started the same day and started walking very fast. And as expected, the daughter came to know. This daughter was very attached to this deity. Her name is Bibi Lachimar. So she was inconsolable. She said, I want the deity. So she and a few people, her assistants, they started walking southwards on the way of Ramanuja, hoping to meet Ramanuja. But Ramanuja and his followers had covered a long distance by then. So this girl and his followers and one more person who happened to be who was attracted to this girl, one other person whose name was Kuvera. He was hoping to marry this girl. So he also joined. Eventually, after in the search of Ramanuja, finally they reached Yadavadri kingdom. And this girl went and saw. So looking at her devotion and sincerity, Ramanuja allowed her to get the darshan of the deity, Ramapriya. And she decided, I'm not going to leave this place. I'm going to stay here. And she stayed all her life in that kingdom, worshipping the deity, taking darshan of the deity all the time. And there itself she left her body. And this man, Kuvera, he also developed a devotion towards Lord Vishnu. But because he was belonging to this Muslim family, he was not allowed inside. Eventually the Lord came in his dream and said, you go to Neelachal, Jagannath Puri. There you can worship me. So every time during Rathyatra, he would take the darshan of Lord Jagannath Balde Subhadra and he spent all his life there and left his body there. So these two examples, although they didn't belong to our regular Varnashram families, still they attained pure devotion. Eventually, after several months, Ramanuja decided to return to Srirangam, his own town, hometown. And several people he met again on the way and fulfilled their desires, converted many people. Then Kuresh, his disciple, very dear disciple, he was very old. And everyone came to know that he is about to depart. And all his disciples and followers, and Ramanuja himself, they would daily come to his room, sing bhajans and songs for his pleasure, allowing him to remember Krishna at the last moment. And eventually he passed away, Kuresh passed away. And in honor of Kuresh, they had a month-long festival in the town of Srirangam, celebrating his glorious departure. Then his son, Kuresh's son, Parashar Bhatta, Ramanuja said, this boy is as qualified as his father and you all should accept him as the next Acharya. He will present the teachings in its pure form. So please follow whatever he says. So in this way, Ramanuja remained there for the last 20 years. He lived for 120 years on earth. The last 20 years he was at Srirangam without going outside, instructing all the people. Everyone from all over South India would come to meet him, take instructions from him, take initiation from him. So 120 years he stayed there total. During his life, he had established 74 centers for the Sri Vaishnavas. Initiated thousands of people, thousands of followers, including several kings, several wealthy landowners. He had 700 sannyasi disciples, 12,000 brahmachari disciples, and 300, they call it Ketti Ammais, lady disciples who had taken vows of renunciation. And eventually he realized that now my mission on earth has completed, and he decided to leave his body. So he called his disciples, hoping to give some last minute instructions. So when the disciples got to know that our guru is about to depart, everyone started crying profusely. And he said, please stay for a few more days. So Ramanuja agreed and he said, okay, 3 more days I will stay. And he gave those final instructions. He said, worship all Vaishnavas as you worship your guru. Have faith in the previous acharyas and never be controlled by the senses. Never be satisfied simply by worldly knowledge. Study the scriptures, Upanishads, and describe the glories of the Supreme Lord. Transcendental knowledge can overcome the pushings of the mind and senses. Be indifferent to the promptings of the mind. Always relish the chanting of the holy name and qualities of the Lord. And the best way to serve the Lord is rendering service to His devotees. Mad bhakta puja pyatika. Every day spend some time in contemplating the greatness of the spiritual master. And every day study the teachings of the Vaishnava acharyas. Avoid those who teach paths other than devotional service and those interested in sensual pleasures. One who sees a deity as stone, the guru as an ordinary man, the devotees in terms of caste or bodily designation, Charanamrita as ordinary water, holy name of the Lord as a mundane sound vibration, or the Supreme Lord as one of the demigods, is certainly destined for hellish life, naraki buddhi. I think Prabhupada quotes this from Ramanuja's teachings. So in this way, he gave those final instructions and he decided, he got ready for leaving this world. So the disciples had kept one murti of Ramanuja ready, and they requested Ramanujacharya to empower this deity so that they can continue worshipping him even after his departure. So Ramanuja invoked all his mercy and blessings upon the deity, and he said, this deity is like my second self, non-different from me. And even after my departure, you will feel my presence in this. So in this way, Ramanuja, remembering Lord Vishnu, Yamunacharya, his guru, he finally departed this world. So, Lord Chaitanya also took these two principles from Sri Vaishnavism. Worship of Vaishnava especially. Worship of devotees. He was emphasized by Sri Vaishnavas, Ramanujacharya. So, that was one element that was borrowed from these teachings. And similarly, he borrowed other teachings from the other sampradayas also. In this way, Lord Chaitanya harmonizes the teachings of all 4 Vaishnava sampradayas and presents to us the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva philosophy. So on this glorious day, let us pray to Ramanujacharya so that we can also continue in his footsteps, follow his teachings. Hare Krishna. So any thoughts, any comments, anyone to share? Granthas Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.